you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me, you can turn with me to the book of Acts. We'll be looking at Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 today. In Acts chapter 1, we find those very, very familiar words, words that we've used many times and even showed up on the Facebook timeline this morning, actually. But I want to share with you the scriptures that are before and after as well. And those are chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, and we begin reading with verse 4. And while he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which, he said, you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And after he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Father, I thank you for your word today. And I thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to share in it. I pray, Father, that you would take it and that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, that you would bury within our hearts, within our very lives, that nugget, that truth that you need us to have today. May we, Father, go away from this time of celebration, this time of gathering. May we go, Father, to help gather. May we leave this place of worship to go forth and to work to serve you. Lord, hide me behind the cross of Calvary. And I pray, Lord, that your words would be clear. That, Lord, we would see you high and lifted up. And Lord, that we would respond to whatever call you place upon our lives. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is that Christian celebration, mostly a part of Jewish festivals, festivities. It's to celebrate the descent of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, after the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. It is, on the calendar, the seventh Sunday after Easter. As I was studying this sermon, preparing, I was mindful of the fact that a lot has happened and transpired in our lives before and since and after Easter. You know, we had COVID-19, you know, that virus thing. And then we celebrated Easter online. First time ever I've celebrated Easter online. Then we had the storms that roared through here the Sunday after Easter. And then May the 3rd, we started our drive-in services. Amazing how things have transpired even since then, but seven Sundays since Easter. And today we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. We celebrate that time when Jesus Christ sent his Holy Spirit upon them. Jesus had instructed them not to leave Jerusalem, to stay there and to stay together. He had told them, you wait for the promise that is to come upon you. That promise is the promise of the Holy Spirit. They have been in the upper room. They're in Jerusalem. They've been weak. They've been sorrowful. They've been troubled. And some of them have probably even trembled. But there's one common attitude that they have, one common thing. They're together in one place. The scripture says they are in one accord. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were together in one place. The King James would say they were in one accord. They were together. They were spending time as a body together. Jesus had told them, don't leave Jerusalem, stay together. And so they did just that. And on that day, as they're together, as they're in that place, whether they are still trembling, whether they're still some sorrowful, and I'm sure they are, they're still weak, they're still wondering what's going to happen, where are we going to go from here, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. The Scripture says that there came a rushing mighty wind. A rushing mighty wind. We've seen demonstrations of God in the life of Christ from the very moment that He was born. Stars, angels singing. We see that when He was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, and as He's coming up out of the water, there comes a sound from heaven. Another sound from the clouds. When they're at Calvary, there's thunder and lightning. The ground is trembling. Another sound going on. But now we find a sound as of a rushing, mighty wind coming in to the upper room, coming in among these disciples, rushing through them and filling the house. The Scripture goes on to say that there appeared unto them cloven tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each of them. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 5 of chapter 2. Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under the heavens. And when this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and they were amazed, saying, look, are all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own native language, our own native tongue? Amazing. Cloven tongues appearing like fire, resting on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they began to speak in various languages. None of them knew the language they were speaking, but they spoke a language that all could understand and all could hear from every race. That's what we find in verse 8. How is it that each of us can hear them in our own native language? Then skip down. It says, we hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues. They were all astounded. They were perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But some sneered. Some said, they're drunk on new wine. Amazing. Jesus Christ knew what needed to be done at that very moment, at that very time. That a sound would come from heaven, that tongues would rest upon them, that they would speak in various languages. And notice that all understood the magnificent works of God. God has a plan. God has a purpose that He works out in every situation. We've talked about how they're weak, they're trembling, they're sorrowful, they're troubled. But yet God is working in the midst of that trouble, that trembling, that sorrow to bring about His great works, to speak to the people about the magnificent works of God. These tongues come in, and devout Jews hear all this and they see it and they're wondering, is this a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies? But then, as is always the case, there's those that are the mockers. Oh, they're just drunk. Oh, they're just acting out. Oh, they're just a bunch of fanatics. But God's using all of this to bring together that great message that Peter would preach. Peter preached a great message, using Joel as his sermon text. Verse 17, and it will come in the last days, this is chapter 2, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all people, that your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my servants in those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and the glorious day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's 3 points I want you to see from the sermon today, or from this section of Scripture. And first of all, I want you to see the boldness. Boldness that comes upon them. Peter's the one that had denied Christ, right? Peter was the one who had said, I don't know him, right? Now he stands, thank you. Now he stands before them as the Holy Spirit has come to empower them. And he stands with great boldness. And he tells us that the Holy Spirit has now come upon them and they need to understand who Jesus is. Peter preaches this great sermon. He preaches with power and authority. He preaches because he is empowered by God, the Holy Spirit in him. The Holy Spirit comes to a Christian to empower us so that we might live holy lives. The Holy Spirit comes into our life so that we might love as Jesus commanded. By the way, let me remind you, my friends, that the Bible says that Jesus said the greatest of all commandments is this, that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. How about that? We're to love all people. And the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to come boldly before the very presence of God so that we might be able to intercede for ourselves. The Holy Spirit even goes a little further and helps us in interceding when we can't form the words, when we can't form the thoughts, when we just can't seem to get it all together. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit lives within a believer. The Holy Spirit lives there to bring us into contact and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, that's boldness. Boldness in our lives. We need boldness in our lives today. We need to be able to boldly proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord, even in the midst of a pandemic. We need boldness to be able to proclaim, thus saith the Lord, when people mock us. We need to be able to say with boldness, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is nothing that can be done to me because He has all power. He has all authority. The Holy Spirit lives within my life. Secondly, I want you to see not only the boldness, but I want you to see the beautiful, beautiful results. Oh, my friends, when we look at this section of Scripture and we see these beautiful results of Peter's preaching to these people. Peter has shared the message of Jesus Christ. He's talked about how they're the ones that crucified Him. They're the ones who killed Him. They're the ones who put Him on the cross. And then he comes to verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And they said, Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. An amazing thing, right? Jesus Christ has been proclaimed. The message has been clearly proclaimed. And with many other words, he even went further and proclaimed the message of hope to them. And he said, repent and be baptized, each of you, for the remission of your sins. My friends, let me tell you something. Good, sweet little messages won't get salvation. The power of God within the heart of the preacher and the power of God within the heart of the hearer, that's where the results come from. That's where people get saved. It's not by works and mighty great things and big programs and all these wonderful things. It's only through beautiful results coming from the preaching of the message of Jesus Christ. He uses text from Joel. He uses as his subject Jesus Christ. and he used as his aim to bring joy to their lives, calling them to repentance. True joy will not come until we repent of our sins. True hope doesn't come until we surrender ourselves to him. 3,000 people were saved. When the Holy Spirit of God comes upon them, when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon us, when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon the church, people are going to be changed. Lives are going to be changed. Hope's going to be restored. Salvation is going to be given freely. That's beautiful results. But here's the third. There's a bounty of worship. We end this chapter, Acts chapter 2, where we started a couple of weeks ago. We end it with the purposes. Because here we find the church is involved together. Together. In a harvest basket. I like it. I like that. Worship is one of the fruits, one of the areas of the basket. The Word of God is in the basket. Fellowship is in the basket. Sharing is in the basket. Proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ is in the basket. And now they're sharing with others. They're flowing out to others. They're reaching out to others. Their hands are open, not closed in fists, but their hands are open so that they might be able to proclaim the hope of Jesus Christ. There is a worshipful bounty that we see in this section of Scripture. So that's Pentecost. That's what we hope for. That's what we dream for. That's why you and I sit here today in this unusual, unique place, proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit lives within our lives. And the Holy Spirit empowers us. And so we need to have boldness. And we need to see the beauty of that boldness and the results that it gets. And we need to see the bounty of worship in our lives as it pours out for others to see. Will you let your life be a conduit for the power of God to flow into this world? That's what he wants from us today. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity to share. I pray, Lord, that you will use it, Lord, in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray that if there's decisions that need to be made, Lord, they're being made even right where we sit. Whether it be to open up our lives and allow your spirit to really work in our lives, surrendering something to you that we're keeping back, maybe even committing our life to you for your service. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, if there's one that's listening that does not know you as Savior, I pray that they would admit that they are a sinner and admit that you are the only one that can forgive them of their sin. Lord, I pray they would believe that you are their hope, that you are their life, that you will give them salvation, and that they will believe in you as the only way. Father, I pray that today they would confess their sin to you, confess you as Savior and Lord of their life, and confess that they now want to follow you, live for you, because you died for them. Lord, we rejoice in what you're doing in our lives. We rejoice what you're doing in our homes, what you're doing in our churches, what you're doing among us. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to pay attention, to listen to what you're doing, to be aware, and to join you in the Word. We thank you, Father, for these that have come. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. I pray that you'll have a great afternoon. Drive by and drop your offering as you go out. And we will see you next Sunday morning at 9:30. God bless you. Have a good day.